Welcome to the Rethinking Learning Podcast. I'm Barbara Bray. This is where I have conversations with awesome educators, leaders, and change agents about their passion to transform teaching and learning. Today, I am really lucky to have Linda Inlay here. I've met her. I'm so excited to tell you about her. In fact, let me just introduce her first. Linda started an independent school in Hawaii in 1986, and it was called Huala. I hope I say it right.
Yes, you did.
And in Hawaiian, it means awakening of the self, an apt name for the transformation of teachers, students, and parents to grow in the four R's: responsibility, respect, resourcefulness, and responsiveness, to be modeled by the adults in order to foster these same values in students. Then Linda moved to California in 1993, and she's on a new journey. It's called Awakening Wisdom, that I cannot wait to discuss with her and share with the world. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm really happy to be part of this and share what I know of Awakening Wisdom and what I learned from my mentor, Sister Joan, way back in 1973 when I started teaching.
Well, you know, let's just start about that. Maybe you can tell a little bit about your background, maybe when you started in Hawaii, maybe about you. Tell us about you and your family.
Okay, so I grew up in Hawaii, and I attended the University of Hawaii, got my teaching certificate, was all ready to start in the public schools, and I didn't get hired. So I took this left turn and landed at a small Catholic school called Our Lady of Sorrows, which is kind of a horrible name for a school. And that left turn in my life opened up a whole nother way of understanding how to do school that has transformed myself as a teacher, a parent, a colleague, a sibling, a daughter. And so I just see it as somebody was watching over me to take me to this turn, and it has led me to this work called Awakening Wisdom.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, let's just go back to Hawaii and talk about Huala. How did you start that? And when, why you did that too?
Well, we, I was with Sister Joan at Our Lady of Sorrows for 15 years. At that time, in that 15th year, the bishop and the pastor of the school fired Sister Joan as the head of our program. And so we decided that we would start our own independent school to take the Huala program into an independent school called Huala School. We asked the Hawaiian spiritual teachers for a name, Hawaiian name, that would be appropriate, and they came up with Huala, and we thought that was very apt for the transformation that we talk about of, you know, students and teachers and parents in this journey to develop good people. Good people we want to send out into the world to make a positive difference.
Wow. How long did you do that again?
So 15 years at Our Lady of Sorrows, and we started the school in 1986. We had no money. We were housed in the YMCA and on Oahu, and we had to move furniture because every night in the large hall, because they had a karate class going on, that is where we had our primary, our kindergarten, first and second grade. And then on Sunday, there was church. So we had to move all the furniture out of the classrooms into the large hall so that they could use the classrooms for Sunday school. That went on for I think another 10 or 12 years. But then after 2 years, I left for the mainland due to my husband's new job, and they continued to grow. And I think they just celebrated their 30th birthday since starting way back in 1986.
Wow. So Huala Foundation is still there.
Yeah, Hoala School is still there.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so when I came to the mainland and I got into my first public school teaching job, and I was there for 5 years, and that was very informative because I could feel the difference of what Sister Joan had created and what I learned, as opposed to what I saw happening in a large middle school. And so I took all of that learning, and when I moved to Napa, California, where I now reside, I was asked to be the principal of the first charter school in Napa called River School. And so for 18 years, I kind of nurtured the Hoala philosophy, which we are now calling Awakening Wisdom, at my school. And so it is thriving. It has had numerous awards for the kind of character education and social emotional learning that we did, not as a off-the-shelf curriculum, but a way to organize the entire environment so that it nurtured the needs for social emotional connection as well as social emotional skills.
So it's River Middle School. Is that the...
Yes.
And that's a...
Yes.
And it, so it's a charge. Do you know how big it is? Do you know how many kids?
There are about 400 students, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Wow.
It started off with only 75 students. So over the 18 years, we slowly grew the school to its present size.
So can you just kind of, you know, because I was a middle school teacher and I love middle schools, I really feel that's where we miss a lot of the kids. They tend to,
yes.
When you talk about social-emotional learning, we need it more there than in many of the ages. And
absolutely.
So can you just tell me what's different about your school, that school compared to other middle schools?
Well, I think it's, you know, we know that one of the important things for that all students need, well, all human beings, is a sense of belonging, to feel connected. And so the knowing that, the other thing that we know is that need to develop one's identity and autonomy is also another important need. And that both of those, I think, as you know, surface in middle school in a large way. And so really designing the school such that there would be relationships, the advisory program where the advisor develops relationships with their students in their homeroom advisory is really key. And then we had listening groups where small groups of the advisory kids would meet with the advisor once every 2 to 3 weeks and just listen to each other. And that was a really important way to have kids learn about who they are, practice listening, and to feel that sense of connection when they do listen to another person and when they feel heard. That's one of the things that kids absolutely need and don't get enough of, is to be listened to by adults.
You know, that you mentioned that because you mentioned advisories, which is something that it seems to be a theme with some of the people that are coming on my show. It's really cool, is that they realize that student voice is so important, but also having a caring and compassionate environment that people care about each other.
Right. I think that is something that, you know, like you said, more and more people are recognizing this human connection, this need to connect with people is really important. And it's really important that the students have those kinds of trusting relationships with adults, not just with their peers, but with adults. And so what people have noticed about the River School students, yeah, is so impressive. Every time we have visitors, I would have a group of mostly eighth graders. They would be in a conference room, and I would leave them in the room with the visitors. And they would go through and explain about the school. And every single one of those visitors would be so impressed with their, because it wasn't scripted. They were speaking from their heart, what they knew about the school. And I had a friend who is an organizational consultant working with nonprofits and big companies. And she said, after listening and talking to my students, is that they were more self-actualized than many of the lawyers she was currently working with. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what happens when you nurture the kid's sense of belonging and sense of self. But then also these four R's really help to develop their character. And I see, you know, the responsibility one is not just doing the right thing. It's a unique definition, the willingness to see oneself as the cause of something rather than the victim.
Oh, I just have to stop you there because that seems to be what happens in school, in so many schools. They've been taught to be compliant, and there's this learned helplessness. And when you got the kids from another elementary school that may not be like River School, you know, it's like they come to school with that feeling like it's not there. They don't have that responsibility. How do you build that in sixth grade? I mean, how do you change that?
It's really, our sixth grade teachers really carry the load because they have to really train the kids about how it is okay to have a voice. And so these listening groups really help to nurture that voice. And it's amazing how easy it is once they feel there's permission, and not just permission, but there's an invitation to speak up. You know, the first school meeting on the first day of school, we have, I would have some eighth graders coming up and talking to the kids and saying, you know, this is what I want you to know. It's really important. So sharing their wisdom. And so the kids, and we do that, we look at everything in the environment in which we can send messages to the students that it is very important for them to share their thoughts and their ideas. And I can give you many stories, but I have to share one thing that happened today.
Oh, sure.
I was at the market and I, you know, was entering the market and a former parent came up to me, gave me a big hug. And he said, I just want you to know what a difference you made in my daughter's life, who is now 21. And she had bought our Jeep Cherokee and it was a lemon. And she didn't ask her parents to do this at 21. She got a lawyer, spent 8 months working with this lawyer, got Jeep company to buy the car back, to pay for all the rentals that she incurred. She did this all on her own. And so he was just, you know, so appreciative of how independent she became and strongly confident about herself as being able to navigate the world. Yeah. And then he shared this other, he said, I have a nephew who's going to be entering college. And he said, so, Jared, what are you going to be taking? And he said, well, my mom hasn't decided what I'm going to take yet. And so he was sharing the contrast between what his daughter, how she has come into the world fully confident about what she wants to do and navigate that, and to contrast it with his nephew.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, that's what happens. There's so many kids that graduate and they really don't have a clue on what they want to do. And then they go maybe to college or get a job and they find themselves kind of floundering because they're not sure what they want to do or come back home after because they really didn't learn that. So is that kind of how you came up with the idea of awakening wisdom then?
Yeah. So the awakening wisdom, see, ho'ala, as a Hawaiian word, is very hard to say, remember, and, you know, actually type because it has an apostrophe and then has a line over the first A, which is called a kahako. And without those two marks, then the meaning of it changes. So we decided in order for us to really share this, people had to be able to say the name of this program. So the awakening part, awakening wisdom, comes from awakening, the meaning of ho'ala. And the wisdom part comes from Sister Joan, who in 1968, you know, she started Our Lady of Sorrow School, and she was standing on the second floor of lanai in Hawaii at the school. It was the end of the day, and the kids were leaving, and they were saying goodbye to Sister Joan, and she realized that they entered in kindergarten and left in eighth grade with a lot of knowledge and skills, but very little wisdom about themselves and about their relationship with their world. And so that began her journey to learn from the Carl Rogers Institute in San Diego and the Adlerian professor at the University of Hawaii called Dr. Raymond Corsini. So that is how those two pieces of psychology are part of the underpinnings of awakening wisdom. And it's very powerful. The story I shared is repeated many times over, both in Hawaii and at the River School. And the high school teachers would remark that they could tell when the students came from River School just because of the way they carried themselves. They were not afraid to ask questions, to participate in class. They, you know, looked adults in the eye. So there was a confidence that they exuded as they went on to high school. And our school is small, 400 students, and the high schools are very large, you know, 2,000 students. And yet they were able to, you know, tackle it confidently because they gained that sense of, I know who I am and I know where I'm going and what I want to do. They oftentimes don't need their parents' help when they get into a problem, you know, at high school.
One of the things that I find with middle schools is a lot of times the kids go to high school and they want to belong, right? How do they build that confidence? And then you have kids that didn't go through your school. I mean, I'm just curious how is there a way to get it into the high school? Is that what you're doing now? You're trying to get this idea of awakening wisdom. So it's not just one school,
Yeah, and that was my promise to Sister Joan before she passed away in 2009, is that I would share her wisdom of this program with other schools so that more students can benefit. With all the concerns now about the rising stress, anxiety, depression, and the rising statistics on teen suicide, I think awakening wisdom could really change the culture of the school such that it would promote well-being of students rather than what we're seeing now. Suicide is now the second leading cause of death for adolescents. I feel an urgency, not just my promise to Sister Joan, but an urgency to do something about this. So that is what my mission is
now.
Yeah,
well, because I know about Awakening Wisdom, and I've been, you know, luckily I met you through our good mutual friend, Sarah Armstrong. And some of the things that I learned is that it's really about school culture. So, you know, I kind of want to talk about some of the things that you're developing right now because I'm lucky. I get to see it. And I think the world needs to know about it because, I mean, it scares me. I don't want to lose one kid. And that one, I mean, I know that how devastating that is for families and for a whole school. So, but it's also, you can lose them through depression and through so many other things. So if we can awaken that wisdom and find themselves, one of the things that you started with is fulfilling the need for a sense of belonging. And that's one of the things that we were working on. And that's really that most important thing, isn't it? In the beginning.
Yeah. That is the beginning place. It's kind of like the fertile ground. And John Goodlatte had this wonderful quote in one of his books, that out of that sense of belonging emerges the self. And so when it's safe, then kids' unique identity can emerge. So both are really important. because the unique identity is the strength they have to face peer pressure and those kinds of things, because they know who they are and they're comfortable with who they are. So that both of those things, those needs, are really critical to their self-actualization.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you, because I've been a professional developer. I've worked with schools, and I was a coach for many, many years and had coaches. And one of the things that I find, it's really hard to change a system, but it's also hard to change a teacher who is in a system who has to has so many constraints and barriers. Because that's my goal and my mission is to transform teaching and learning. It's all over my site. I say I'm going to do it, but then I'm not in the schools. And I look at what the teachers are going through, and I anything we can do to help support them so they have some strategies. And I love the way that you're pulling it together.
Yeah, and I used to say that, it was very hard to explain to people what Awakening Wisdom was about, because there wasn't a term for it. And today, CASEL, which is the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning, has now a term to describe school culture programs that address social emotional needs, like our program does. And it's non-curricular. So when they talk about a strong social emotional program, they're not just talking about an off-the-shelf curriculum, because what they're finding is if the teachers are not modeling and growing in their own social emotional growth, how can they teach these lessons to students if the students are getting the message of what the teachers are telling them, but in their behavior, it is not matching? And I'm telling you, middle schoolers and high schoolers are very savvy to know when adults are not walking the talk. And then the third arena for this social-emotional program, complete one, is really looking at the school culture from every piece of it, from your disciplines program, how the office treat students, and your traditions, your events and rituals, they all have to cohere in such a way. And that's what I think the power of the program is. It's powerful coherence. All the pieces fit together.
So I think some of my audience might be wondering, are you still working at River Middle School, or are you now working on Awakening Wisdom?
Yes. So colleagues and I started a nonprofit called the Ho'ala Foundation for Education, in which one of the programs right now is the Awakening Wisdom program for schools. So I'm working with schools to look at their school culture. We start off with a school climate assessment. We are partnering with the Alliance for the Study of School Climate at CSU, California State University at Los Angeles. And we use that as a way to kind of assess what's going on in the culture. And then I conduct focus groups to really get an in-depth read. Then with that data, the school, with my help, can then address, what are we going to start with first? And school, like you said, it's really hard to change culture. And so it's usually a 2 to 3, maybe more, year process, because you have to start to address some of these areas that are out of sync, with kids.
Oh, I love it. And the relationship piece is one of the biggest ones. And so even when as a coach, because as a coach, I would go in, and I worked in schools in the Bay Area also, since we don't live too far away. one of the things I find is that you have to really build that relationship. They have to trust you. There's a whole thing about trust. And everyone has to have a voice. And even teachers don't always trust someone from the outside. And you have to build it slowly. And I always find it's really good to build it so they are doing the work. I'm not doing the work. They're doing the work, right?
Absolutely. And so I look upon my consulting work with schools as giving them the tools in which they, not just tools, I think it's the important thing is the shift in mindsets, because the mindsets, those beliefs, really are the, out of that comes all the behavior, you know, how you behave. And people are unaware after a while of their mindsets, which are affecting how they relate with kids or their colleagues.
So I try to keep the podcast to about 20, 25 minutes. So I just want to let you know this has been really, really wonderful, but I don't want to go without kind of pulling it together and have you just share anything else about Awakening Wisdom for, you know, for my audience.
You know, what I would say again is if people are interested in really addressing the social emotional needs of students and making a distinction between their needs for belonging and autonomy and identity and the social emotional skills, it is really important to look at it as a culture, not just as a program you're going to teach on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday in the third period. It has to be a whole school effort in order for it to be powerful. And the connection between, or the correlation between a healthy school climate and academic achievement is powerful. So if people are interested in academic achievement, then they cannot forget the social emotional needs of kids and the climate of the school.
Well, you know, I'm going to be putting a blog post together with this. So maybe there's some links to some of the research that you have. And we're definitely going to link to your wonderful website and all the other things that you have about this, because I'm honored to, you know, kind of be part of some of the development of this with you. But it's like I've been doing something like this, but not as deep as you are. And this is just wonderful. So I want people to know about you. I really want them to get the idea that culture is hard to change and there are ways to do it.
Yes. And I think it's, while it's hard, I think it's really important to change. And so, you know, you're right. It's these teachers, if they're trying to, you know, they're coming into the system, and we hear about the rising percentage of teachers leaving the profession after 5 years. Some of that has to do with the culture in the school. So we do need to do this for our kids and the future of our country. I think schools have to develop good people, good citizens. And I think if we're focusing just on, you know, academic achievement alone, then we're missing something really vital to the well-being of our country.
Oh, you just hit on it. What a wonderful way to pull this all together. I love it, because one of the things that you are trying to do, and I'm just going to say, under Awakening Wisdom, she has, it's to empower learners, create community, and free minds. And it's so true, the way that you been doing this. So I'm really excited about telling more and sharing more, and I can't wait to put the blog post together with you.
And Barbara, thank you very much for inviting me to participate today, but also to walk with us in this journey. So we, you know, I in my retirement are looking for like-minded people, and I definitely feel like you are one of them who wants to really change the world for our kids and our grandkids.
Oh, yes, you're right, Linda. Yeah. Thank you. You're just, you know, sometimes people come in your life and you go, wow, this is such a gift. That's how I feel about every kid. And you too.
Yes.
And we, you know, we did not talk about parents. You have a whole piece on building the community also. So, you know, I find that so much we need to kind of help each other. So this is just wonderful.
Parenting is key also to this. And so I would do a 4-week parenting course for my parents so that the messages coming at home from home are consistent with what we're doing at school. And because of that marriage of the two, I think that's why our program was so successful.
Well, thank you, Linda. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Barbara.
Just a wonderful conversation.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning podcast and my conversation with Linda Inlay. Make sure you visit barbarabray.net to learn more about Linda and her mission to awaken wisdom. Look for a complimentary blog post where we're going to put a lot of resources and links, and you can also leave a comment for Linda. You see, these conversations are all part of a bigger picture to transform education. I invite you to leave a review on iTunes and share or retweet the post on Twitter using the hashtag Rethink_learning. Please subscribe to the podcast and the website at barbarabray.net so you can join the conversations.